Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Action Network Podcast.
I'm just about that action, boss.
From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch. They're saying it's a catch. Touchdown.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money. All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Action Network Podcast presented by FanDuel. I am your host, Chris Raybon, and this is our fifth annual Propapalooza episode covering all things prop betting for Super Bowl 57. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Sean Kerner, Action Network's Director of Predictive Analytics and one of the best player projectionists out there. Sean, what's going on?
What's up? Happy Super Bowl. I think it goes without saying this is always one of my favorite podcasts to record each and every year. So happy to be on. I think this is my fourth time. Maybe it's my fifth, but either way, this is always one of my favorites.
Yeah, we might have had that loser Matthew Friedman on one of the years, but you know, nah, shouts to Matthew. Miss you, bro.
What's up, Matt?
But what we're gonna do on this pod is we're gonna do a Sunday six pack with our three favorites. So if anyone who listens to the normal pod with Stucky and I, you know what that's about. And then we'll kind of go through we'll go through pregame exotics. We'll go through the MVP market. We'll go through the touchdown market. We'll go through the quarter, half market, player regular, just traditional player props, and any other type of miscellaneous. So we'll go through pretty much everything from start to finish in this pod. But let's start it off with the Super Bowl 57 Propapalooza Sunday six-pack. You get first pick. Where are you going?
For my first pick of the Super Bowl six pack, I'm going with who will catch a pass first, Isaiah Pacheco or Miles Sanders? I'm going with Isaiah Pacheco at -130. This price definitely stuck out to me because Pacheco's coming off his career best receiving line. Last week, he got 5 passes for 59 yards. The underlying usage definitely supported that. You know, he ran a season high 52% routes run rate. I mean, you and I were trying to figure this out. Could be due to just a number of factors, really. You know, the Chiefs ran more 2 to 3 tight end sets due to all the wide receiver injuries. So, you know, Pacheco's pecking order in the target tree kind of went up. And, you know, with guys like Mecole Hardman out, Kadarius Toney still iffy, those are guys that do see design screen passes. So with one or both of them out could help Pacheco in this market. Plus, Patrick Mahomes is dealing with that right ankle injury, so he's less likely to scramble and more likely to dump off to his running back, Pacheco, when he is on the field. So I'm projecting Pacheco closer to 1.8 receptions, which is in line with the market. And Miles Sanders, you know, he's typically used in early down run-heavy situations. Plus, Jalen Hurts tends to scramble more often than he does check it down to running back. So I'm projecting Sanders closer to his 0.9 receptions, which is also in line with the market. So it's tricky to really give an exact projection for this, but based on the receptions, you know, it's likely in the 67% range that Pacheco gets the first reception. So I would set the fair line closer to like -200 for this market. So I think we're getting quite a bit of value here, and I bet this up to -160, even -170 or so.
Yeah, I like it. I think Pacheco is going to be more involved in this game plan as a receiver because, as you mentioned, I think those heavier tight end formations are here to stay. And when you do that, you know, you got to worry about those edge players for Philly. I think it's more likely you use a guy like Noah Gray, maybe a Fortson to block. Obviously, Kelsey's not going to be that guy. So it does free up the running back. And I think they want to get Pacheco the ball. I mean, after seeing what he did in the championship, and I'll talk about it later, but Pacheco's also been a lot better than McKinnon on the ground too. So they really have no reason not to feature Pacheco in this game, in my opinion. All right, for my first pick in the second overall of the Super Bowl 57 Sunday six pack, I'm going with over 10 accepted penalties at minus 110. Carl Cheffers is known for calling a lot of penalties. All time, he's called 11 or more penalties 78% of the time, regular and postseason. And he's called 9 or fewer just 15% of the time. He's called exactly 10, 7% of the time. Now, in the postseason, he does swallow the whistle a little bit more, but I still, especially if you can get the 10, I think there's still a big edge because he's called 11 or more 50% of the time in the postseason. He's called exactly 10, 42% of the time, and then 9 or fewer just 8% of the time. So if you can get that on exactly 10, I think you're still getting a big edge. 10.5, I still think there's an edge there as well. But overall, this guy just caused a lot of penalties. And I'm not sure. I think the books are kind of just pricing it, league average penalty numbers here. So big edge on the over.
You know, I love me some ref stats. I think it would matter if it's 10 to 10.5, just based on his postseason rate of 10 exactly.
Yeah, that's such a small sample because when we're looking at all time, we're talking about over a decade. When we're talking about postseason, we're talking about like 12 games. So I would still kind of lean toward the one with 10x more games.
Yeah.
So that's why I said even at 10.5, I think there's an edge. But yeah, if you want to go by the postseason, then obviously you want the 10 even, which I have seen at a number of books in the market. All right, where are you going for your second?
So for my second pick of the Super Bowl six pack is the Chiefs to call the first timeout at minus 115. And again, this seems like a market where, it should be similar to a coin toss or it's more of a 50-50 type of thing. That just comes down to luck, but that's just not the case. Some coaches they're more likely to waste timeouts than others. I consider a wasted timeout, a timeout used either on offense or defense, outside of the last 4 minutes of the half, whether it's trying to prevent a delay of game penalty, not having the right personnel on the field or whatever reason. Ideally, coaches would save their timeouts for the last 4 minutes of the half to stop the clock for strategic reasons. And Sean McVay is one of the worst in wasting timeouts. That's why I hammered the Rams to call the first timeout last year. But this year, I'm showing value in both directions, actually. On the season, Andy Reid has been pretty sloppy when it comes to timeouts. The Chiefs have called the first timeout in 15 of 19 games this year. Wow. So that's 79%. He's going through timeouts like they're cheeseburgers. And 12 of those first timeouts were of the wasted variety. That's typically what a first timeout is going to be, right? It's a wasted timeout. And on the other side, Nick Sirianni is very good at conserving his timeouts. He typically does not waste timeouts. Since he came in the league this season, he's only called the first timeout in 7 of 19 games. So that's a 37% rate. And only 5 of those have been of the wasted variety. So this is one of those things. Once it gets closer to the 2-minute warning, it's going to come down to luck. But I do think the chances are good that Andy Reid's going to blow a timeout well before Nick Sirianni does. So this is a market I would set the line closer to, the Chiefs calling this around 60-65% most of the time for the first timeout. So I love the value we're getting here at minus 115. And I would bet this up to, minus 140 or so. I just think this is one of those props I feel really, really good about.
Yeah, I saw a stat saying that essentially, I believe the Eagles were the only team that didn't blow a first a timeout on a late play call on offense or something like that. So yeah, they don't waste timeouts very often.
Yeah.
And when they do, it's usually it's not for the reasons that most teams do, which is like you said, like the plays late getting in or something like that. So yeah, I like this one too. It's a good find. All right, for my second and the fourth overall pick of the Super Bowl 57 Sunday six pack. I'm going Patrick Mahomes' longest run under 11 and a half yards at minus 125. He's been under in 12 of his 19 games this season. That's 63%. And that's with him being mostly healthy here. Mm-hmm. Philly also plays a lot of zone. So it's not like they're turning and running with the receiver as much, which kind of limits where the quarterback can go and how long he can go. So obviously Mahomes could be a little bit healthier in this game than he was 2 weeks ago in the championship, but still for the season, he would be the true odds for this would be closer to about minus 180. And if you look at just what Philadelphia is going to do, like he could get more runs, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're all going to, he's going to break like a 12 yarder. So most of the market's expecting him to get about three carries that aren't kneel downs. So you're looking at, you know, probably three chances, you know, maybe you get a fourth. But you know, I think the number is too high here in terms of 11 and a half. I think it should be closer, you know, to 9, 10 and a half, so closer to like what a true scramble would be, plus minus like a couple of yards. So, and the scramble, by the way, is 7 yards average. So, this would be a tough one, even at full strength. I think this would be a little overvalued, but with him, with the uncertainty, I like it even more. So going Mahomes under 11 and a half for a long.
Oh, I liked it. I have just been avoiding all Patrick Mahomes rushing props. I didn't even build that out in my simulator. That's how much I'm fading it. But I didn't realize his longest rush prop was this high. Yeah. So if you're showing value, like even if he was healthy,
yeah.
I just love the downside, the fact that he's not healthy. I'm going to have to check this one out. This seems too good to be true.
Yeah, it seems like everyone's just kind of pricing his rushing numbers closer back, you know, right back into season average, which again could be, but like I said, even if it's at a season average, it's still too high. So, all right, where are you going for your third?
So for my third pick of the Super Bowl six pack, I'm going with the Chiefs to have the longest gross punt in the game at minus 155. Gross punt just meaning how far the ball travels. That's not including the distance. You know, Tommy Townsend has been anything but gross this year. He has been awesome. His 50.4 yards per punt ranks second on the season. I mean, he's been really, really good. I already locked in his prop of over 46 and a half yards for his first punt. I think he's going to boom a few punts in this game. And on the other side, the Eagles, we don't really know who their punter is going to be. Aaron Sipsis returned from the IR, but it's unclear if he's going to actually play in the Super Bowl. And he only averaged 45.6 yards per punt, which ranked 26th. So even if he does play, he's going to be a bit rusty. Maybe he's less than 100%. And if he's unable to go, it'll be Brett Kern, who's even worse. He's averaged 40.8 yards per punt. Granted, limited action this season. The only punter, I use that in quotes, that has a lower yards per punt is Jake Elliott, who subbed in for Sippus when he got injured in game. So that just goes to show the Eagles don't really have much, you know, on the punting side. So in my sims, you know, I'm getting the Chiefs around a 70% chance to have the longest punt in this game. So I'm showing the fair price closer to minus 235 in this market. And that's with the best case scenario of Eagles having Sippus returning in this game. So if it were to be Kern, you know, it'd be closer to minus 250, maybe minus 300. So I love the value we're getting here at minus 155. And I bet this probably up to minus 200.
Nice. Yeah. And, you know, you could also get some luck go your way if the Chiefs just happen to punt more than the Eagles, which is
obviously a possibility. Yeah, the market for that's basically a coin flip. So that's not really a factor in this. But yeah, that's certainly something that could go against me in this. But really, we just need a couple punts from Townsend to probably get something that clears 55 yards. And it's hard to see either Eagles punter getting that far. So again, we probably only need 2 to 3 punts anyway to take down this market.
All right, for my third and final, the sixth overall of the Super Bowl 57 Sunday six pack, I'm going with the Eagles total rushing yards under 149.5. I think there's some recency bias here because the Eagles, you know, they have been blowing teams out of late, and that obviously lets you run the ball more. But even in their second playoff game against the 49ers, who didn't have a quarterback, they only got to 148. So they only cleared this in one of the two, despite, you know, having these blowout game scripts. Now you're looking at what could possibly be their most neutral or negative game script of the season, because You know, they're favored by a point, point and a half. That would be the lowest of the season. So with Hurts in the lineup. So for the season, they've been under 149.5 in 12 of their 19 games at 63%. So, and including one of the playoff games. So, you know, it's going to take a, while we know they want to run the ball, this it still would take a lot or for them to like, for this to be the median. I think this is a pretty optimistic outcome for Philadelphia. And if they get behind early, if the Chiefs go up, you know, 7-0 or something like that, I think it's going to be a lot tougher because Philadelphia, they do like to come out early in the game and throw the ball. So what usually happens is they come out early, you know, things are working for them. They get a lead and then they're able to run for most of the second half. But if they're not able to do that against the Chiefs, which, you know, of all the teams and all the offenses they face this year, you know, Mahomes is the best quarterback. It's probably the best offense. Then you're not going to see the same amount of rush volume. So, and the Chiefs have been pretty solid against the run, pretty much league average. So, I think this is a little bit of a of recency bias just looking at that Giants game. They played the Giants so much in the last, you know, last part of the season that in the Giants were one of the worst teams against the run. And then they also played the Bears, who were, I believe, the worst in the league. So they played like a bunch of bottom three run defenses over this last, you know, 6-7 weeks that I think it's just a little bit of recency bias, a little bit of inflation here. I would set this closer to about 142. Or 142.5 or something like that. So I like the value on under 149.5.
Yeah, I like it. And I was surprised that they didn't clear this last week. You know, granted, the 49ers are an elite run defense, but I just thought since they blew them out, they would have cleared it. So I'm looking at my sim, and I have the median around 133, but that's without Boston Scott. So that's really close to your 142.
Yeah. So I'm Scott for like, 8 to 10 yards.
Yeah. Like eight to 10 yards. Exactly. And just, this is a game where the Eagles will be a little bit more pass heavy than usual because it will be a rare close, potentially trailing game script. So yeah, I could definitely get behind this one as well.
All right. So that's our six pack to recap. Sean has Pacheco to catch a pass before Miles Sanders at minus 130, the Chiefs to call the first timeout at minus 115, and the Chiefs to have the longer gross punt at minus 155. I'm going over 10 accepted penalties at minus 110. Mahomes' longest run under 11.5 at minus 125. And the Eagles under 149.5 rushing yards. All right, now let's start talking. Let's go through some of the other props in this game. We'll start with some pregame exotics. I think the big one really is going to be the national anthem. Obviously, this is going to be no edge on betting the coin toss or anything like that. But so I'm looking. So Chris Stapleton is who's singing it. But the over under I've seen is 2 minutes and 5 seconds. Going back over the last 16 years, only four of the anthems have gone over that. And the other 12 have gone under. So I think there's a lot of value on the under. Last year, I believe it was like they did like 1:45 or something. It was way too low, so that we were banging the over. But really, I think a lot of people do is they end up looking at the singer and looking at their previous ones. But you can't really do that because they always kind of drag it out because it's the Super Bowl. So I think you just have to kind of look at the prior Super Bowls in general, and that's what's kind of been working for me over the years. So at that 205 number, I would go under. The average has been 159. And the median has been 156.5 over these last 16 Super Bowls. So, I think this is a rare under year for the anthem. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I usually just tail you on these. I put zero effort in any pregame props, but I wonder, is he going to be playing a guitar? Do we know?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That's something I think still kind of can play guitar, but when you're playing guitar, you're going to be less likely to like speed up or slow down. You're probably going to be more consistent. Mm-hmm. So if he's playing with the guitar, if there's any, like, you know, sometimes we get word of like the practice time, like how long he took in practice, it's probably going to be a narrow range of outcomes if he's playing with a guitar, because that'll keep him in line.
You know what I'm looking at too? What's really interesting, I'm looking at the names now. I think he's only like the second or third guy over the last 16 years. Like, Mickey Guyton, Jasmine Sullivan, Demi Lovato,
Last
Night, Pink, Lady Gaga, Idina Menzel, Renee Fleming, Alicia Keys, and Parks, and Carrie Underwood, Christina Aguilera, Jennifer Hudson, Jordan Spark. Like, it was Billy Joel.
Billy Joel was playing a piano.
Luke Bryan, and all three of them.
Oh.
Eric Church. Well, that was with Jasmine. So they had when they had a duet, it was over. The only two guys have both been under, given one has been under by a second if it was 205. But it was at 204, and the other one, Billy Joel, was 130. So that's something I just thought about.
Interesting.
That's kind of interesting, too.
And Luke Bryan might have been the only one playing guitar, if he was playing guitar at it.
Yeah, and he was, so he was 204. So maybe that's a good line. Maybe 205
is
a very sharp line. But either way, I always find that you got to kind of just look back at the kind of the overall, how long it goes in the Super Bowl versus, like, the specific singer. So I would still go under either way, but... It obviously depends on, you know, the book, the lines could differ drastically, I guess.
So my next question is, like, when would you time this? Do you think this is something that will likely go up? Like, do people usually bet on the over and, you know, we'll add a couple seconds, or is this something we should get now?
I think I'd wait, because I think people in general like to bet overs. So, you know, the over is still, it's kind of just like, it's just another over, and it's like an over to start the game too. So I could see it going up a little bit, especially, you know, the year before last, it went to 217. So, you know, that's, you know,
you're
looking at that and saying, okay, maybe it goes that high. So, yeah, I would usually bet on people betting on the over. That tends to be how it goes.
Especially like the final note. They want to see that final note really get stretched out. So I think, the over will probably get the most action. So that would be my guess too.
Yep.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, let's talk some Super Bowl MVP here. You know, I think the important thing to know, first of all, is just some high level. About 70% of the winners over the last decade and a half have been quarterbacks. Two of the last four have been pass catchers. And even if Tupp didn't win last year, it would have been T. Higgins, as we all know. So it would have been a pass catcher, no matter the outcome. Last year, no running back since the turn of the century. I think the last one was 98, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, Philly, I think, has a decent chance to turn out if they win. But so I'm curious as to your thoughts. But to me, the biggest thing that stood out in this market is that you have Mahomes and Hurts at plus 130, right? On FanDuel, and no one else is shorter than +1600. So it's like, if you just look at that +130 number, like, the true odds for each quarterback probably should be closer to like +160, +170.
Yeah.
You take like 35% each, depending on how much of a chance you think each team has to win, right? But I think the advantage of picking a quarterback in this market is that you can pair them and now create a situation where you can kind of lock in a profit if, like, a couple of your selections hit. For example, you have Hurts at +130. AJ Brown is 18-1. So our hedging calculator can calculate, like, the optimal, you know, way that if, like, let's say you put $100 on Hurts, how much would you have to put on Brown to lock in a profit? And you only need to put about $12 on Brown. So it's like, if you want to roster a quarterback, like, you're not getting a true value in terms of the true odds compared to the, you know, listed odds, but you're getting this situation where you're saying, okay, I can kind of play with the correlations now, because if I think the Eagles are going to win, I take Hurts. I have the most likely guy to win the game, to win the award. And then I can go Brown at 18-1. I can go Smith at 31-1. I can go Sanders at 25-1. And I'm kind of locking in a large percentage of the win probability of the distribution for that specific team. So that's how I would kind of go about it. Like, I think the worst value would be to just take like each quarterback, like Hurts plus 130, Mahomes, and no one else. I think you have to pick a side, either Hurts or Mahomes, and then take a, and then pair them with a couple of long shots. But how are you approaching?
No, I think that's sharp. And you know, just like you said, taking these quarterbacks, there's not much value there just when you factor in the win probability and then the chances of it being a quarterback. So I like to take swings at some of the skill players. And we almost hit T. Higgins last year because we had that play where Joe Mixon threw the touchdown to T. Higgins, and then he had another long touchdown. So that was the perfect storm for a player like T. Higgins to hit. So I'm taking a swing on a running back and wide receiver this year. So the running back I'm going to take a swing on is Miles Sanders at 25-1. And you kind of hinted at it that, you know, it's been a while since we've seen a running back win MVP, but this is a game where it could definitely happen. You know, the Eagles are a run heavy team. I'm already on Sanders prop to lead the game in rushing yards at plus 175. And the reason I love that prop is his usage has been capped all season due to the Eagles being involved in so many blowouts. So his rush attempts per share among Eagles running backs is 79% when the Eagles are trailing or winning by fewer than 7 points. And it drops to 61% when the Eagles were up by 7+. And it drops even more than that when they're up by 10+, 14+. So I think we're going to get Sanders closer to his true ceiling in this game. And I also like to look at previous games. Like, were there any other games this season he would have won MVP? If you look at week four, he absolutely would have won MVP. He ran for, he rushed 27 times for 134 yards, two touchdowns, caught two passes for 22 yards. Jalen Hurts only threw for 204 yards, didn't throw a touchdown, threw a pick, ran six times for 38 yards and a touchdown. So I'm saying Miles Sanders would have won MVP in week four. Weeks 12 and 14, he had a similar line, but I think Hurts probably would have won MVP in those weeks. But Sanders would have been in the discussion at least. Last week in the conference championship, I guess Sanders would have been in the discussion. He had 11 carries for 42 yards and two touchdowns, which doesn't sound great, but Jalen Hurts only threw for 121 yards, ran 11 times for 30 yards and a touchdown. So there was a chance Sanders would have won. So just by looking at that, I think we're getting some decent value at 25-1. I certainly think he has a clear path to get there, right? If he just rushes for a couple touchdowns, rushes for over 100 yards, and Hurts doesn't go off, it's likely Sanders would win MVP. And on the other side, it's more of just a complete dart throw, but Marquez Valdes-Scantling at 60-1 caught my eye. I mean, MVS for MVP has a nice ring to it, so I already like that. But he has a path to a ceiling game as well, with Mecole Hardman out, Kadarius Toney, Juju Smith-Schuster potentially less than 100%, even if they do suit up. You know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he has a massive, massive ceiling. He hasn't really flashed that this year, but last week was his best game of the season. He caught six passes for 116 yards and a touchdown, likely because all the receivers went down. So I think they could also take some shots when he's lined up across from James Bradbury, who is an excellent corner, but he does not have the speed to keep up with MVS. So there's a chance MVS could get a deep ball or two, and he has a path at least to hitting MVP, I would say more often than 60-1. So I just like the value we're getting there. He hasn't shown it yet this ceiling, but he does have that sort of upside. So I think he's my favorite long shot in the MVP market.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I'll mention, like, even a guy like Travis Kelce, who's a lot shorter odds. Like, I like the Chiefs receivers, because the thing about the Eagles receivers, right, is if A.J. Brown has a big game, let's say he scores two touchdowns, that means Jalen Hurts has thrown for two touchdowns. Jalen Hurts is probably also going to run for a decent amount of yardage and potentially also score a rushing touchdown or one of the running. Like, Philadelphia is probably going to do something on the ground. So it's like, at that point, I think it kind of flips back to Hurts. But with the Chiefs, it's like, first of all, Mahomes already has one. But, like, the Eagles defense is so good that and Philadelphia, the Kansas City offense pass catcher-wise is kind of banged up, that, like, there's a chance that Mahomes could play below his averages, but one pass catcher could stand out. And so that could be MVS, like it was last week. I think Kelce at 16-1 is in play. Remember, he scored in five straight postseason games, six of the last seven, 90 plus yards in six of the last seven. So I think he's squarely in that mix as well. And, you know, he has that narrative working for him too, with the whole other thing. But, like, I kind of compare it, you know, last year, And granted, the Rams were bigger favorites, but you had Cooper Kupp close around 6-1 as the best pass catcher in that game, to, you know, most likely to win. And he did win, but like now you're getting Kelce at 16-1. I think that's, you know, in terms of, okay, likelihood of Kupp, Kelce having big games, I think it's pretty equal, you know, especially given what Kelsey's done in the postseason. So I like him at 16-1. And then as a long shot, kind of going off what you said with Sanders, I think even Kenny Gainwell is worth a shot at 130-1 because we've seen, you know, now the Eagles, like they could get, there's two different game scripts where I think Gainwell could end up winning the award. One is if they happen to go up early, it's going to be Sanders, it's going to be Hurts. But if Gainwell kind of mixes in more because they're up big, which he has been doing, then he has a chance to score, you know, multiple touchdowns. He's a better pass catcher. And if they could also have a situation where they're in comeback mode. And that would kind of negate all the Chiefs, like the Chiefs pass catchers, Kelce, Mahomes, all those guys could have big games. But then if the Eagles come back and win, you'll probably see a lot of Gainwell. And if he gets like, you know, 100 scrimmage yards and a touchdown or even two, and let's say Hurts doesn't run for one, then you're looking at Gainwell. So I like Gainwell at 130-1. I think these Eagles backs are really interesting. And we've kind of seen a script where, you know, each of the three of them, you know, can kind of be the highest, most productive player in the game. So I know running backs haven't won in a long time, but I do like their odds being priced so high, so long.
Yeah, and just going back to Kelce, I found two games where he absolutely would have won MVP this year. Divisional round against the Bengals, 14 catches, 98 yards, two touchdowns. That was most of the Chiefs receiving production. So he would have won it over Mahomes.
Against the Jags, I mean, yeah, against the Jags.
Oh, against the Jets. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Sorry, this isn't lined up. And week 11, he would have won it against the Chargers. He caught six balls for 115 yards, three touchdowns. That was most of their production. So I think they would have given it to him. And there's been some other games where he would have been.
Touchdown game too, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, he only caught seven balls for 25 yards.
Yeah, but so that one, I mean, you still.
Yeah, yeah. Mahomes, yeah, so that game Mahomes threw 292 with four touchdowns. So yeah, the fact that every touchdown went to Kelce, I was going to say he was in the discussion. But we've got at least two plus games already that I've identified. So I even though 61 seems low, like you said, Cooper Kupp was 6-1 last year and he won. So I do think Kelsey's offering some value at 16-1.
Yeah, I mean, this market is pretty, like usually you see it because we don't usually have such a close spread. You see them a little more split, you know, like some shorter odds, but everyone is 16-1 or higher on FanDuel at least after Mahomes and Hurts. So that's a pretty unique kind of market we don't usually get, especially because we know like 70% of the time it's going to be one of the two quarterbacks. So it's kind of, it's a unique market where you can kind of back into the different choices.
Like we almost did with Higgins last year.
Oh, yeah. Don't even. I will say this though. I don't think there's as much of a slam dunk like the way Higgins. What was he like? 50-1? Did we get 40?
60-1. He got up to 60-1.
Yeah, like, I don't think there's a slam dunk. You know, kind of choice the way there was with Higgins. It's more so just that there's a lot of guys that are in that, you know, 15-1 to 60-1 range because all the starters are in that range. So it's just kind of pick your favorite starter. But I do like that Sanders one a lot because that we've seen that so many times this year where it's just like Sanders will score the first touchdown. Sanders might even score the second touchdown and then just put him on ice. So it's like, it's the Super Bowl. You don't need to put him on ice. If he scores, let's say one early or two early, even, I mean, he might get a chance to get that third and then that would really put him over the edge. So I do like that. All right. Let's go to the touchdown markets now. Another favorite of bettors this time of year. Let's start with anytime touch. We'll talk first touchdown. I know you do you do projections for that as well as anytime. So we'll talk that. But let's start with anytime touchdowns. For me, I know I've talked about this. You know, Travis Kelce stands out. He's not like a traditional value in terms of my model. At minus 125, I think that's actually probably a little overvalued, as is every player in this market, to be clear. Like the books, because they don't usually offer a no. We'll see if they do this year. Sometimes they do for the Super Bowl. But I do think this is Kelce's kind of a model breaker when it comes to the postseason. He scored in 11 of his last 14 postseason games. He scored in each of the last five. This guy just does nothing but find the end zone in the playoffs. Now you got this narrative with him going up against his brother. I just think if they can, obviously you're playing to win and you're going to disguise what you need to disguise and do what you need to do. But if there's anyone that can get a specific player a touchdown when they want, it is Andy Reid, and then it is Patrick Mahomes, and it is Travis Kelce, all of the best, you know, at their given, at what they do. So I kind of ignore, you know, I have it closer to like around 50-50, where minus 125 is obviously, you know, greater than that. But I would, you know, just because of how much he's done in the postseason in terms of getting in the end zone, I would kind of ignore the, like, the median projection and kind of just say, like, if you're looking for anyone to find the end zone in this game, I would bet my money on Kelce.
Yeah, and it's also a good hedge with Jody Fortson too.
Yeah,
because you figure one of them will score. You ideally you'd want Fortson, the long shot, but if he doesn't, it's probably because Kelce scored. They might also both score too, so there's that going for both of them. But I do like the idea of taking Kelce along with Fortson.
Yep.
Who we'll get to later.
Make the case for Fortson right now.
Well, I was going to make the case. You have him for anytime touchdown. I was going to make the case for first touchdown.
Okay. So. For any time, Fortson, he's 12-1 right now.
Yeah.
At FanDuel. 29% of his career catches have gone for touchdowns. 38% of his targets this year have been in the red zone. And he's averaging 8 routes per game, which is pretty good for a number 3 tight end. So essentially, this guy is kind of a touchdown maker. He's a red zone, pretty much a red zone only guy here. And that's good for any time touchdown. And I'm sure you'll make the case for first touchdown as well. And one other guy that I saw some value on is Zach Pascal. His anytime touchdown odds are 15-1. And he's started to come on and see his role grow these last few weeks. And even not just in the playoffs, but going back to the regular season, his usage has been going up and Quez Watkins has been going down. So Pascal, you know, in the postseason, he's seeing about 10 routes per game. And that's kind of what he's been doing over the last, you know, month or so, dating back to the regular season. And so like at this point, you know, if he stays at that usage, which, you know, now we're talking about a handful of games here, you kind of have to project him for in that mm-hmm. neighborhood. His median catch now, it would be around one catch. You know, it's a lot of times, you know, when he's running, you know, less than 10 routes a game, talking about a median of a half a catch or no catches.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's actually, I think, one catch. And then now you're just looking for him, you know, for that one catch to be a touchdown. Which, you know, would happen about 6 to 10% of the time, depending on what you're looking at this year or his career averages. And he also got a carry inside the 10-yard line this year. So, you know, we don't know exactly what they're going to cook up with him, but like if there's anyone that they won't expect here, like if the catch to catch the Chiefs off guard, it's Zach Pascal. And he has been seeing an uptick in playing time, I think because of his run blocking, probably more mm-hmm. than anything. But, you know, it's certainly out of all the players when you're looking at, okay, like even Fortson is 12-1. So even the books are somewhat onto him. Pascal could run more routes than Fortson. He has been. And obviously the usage isn't quite the same, but here you're just looking for routes. You're just looking for guys that at least give you a shot because they're going to be on the field. And so Pascal is that one other guy, I think that in that deep in the long shots that could pay off.
Yeah, he's been playing a lot more like in the red zone
yep.
offense, like around the goal line. He was in, like you said, run blocking. He was lined up in the slot. And they could have easily, you know, run an RPO where, you know, Hurts doesn't give it to Sanders because he sees the cornerback come in and Pascal's wide open for a 2-yard touchdown. Like that could be available to the Eagles based on the personnel they've been using anyway around the goal line lately.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think, I mean, even maybe a guy like Jack Stoll as well, then like anyone who lines up and usually is playing on those run formations because the Eagles run so many RPOs, those runs mm-hmm. could easily turn to passes. That's actually a really good point. All right. Yeah. So who do you like for first touchdown?
Yeah. So the first touchdown, I was saying Jody Fortson at 55-1 and 60-1, you can get him in that range. Seems like pretty good value to me. Just based on my model, I'm showing around 50 being his fair price, but you know, I think that he would be more likely to score the first touchdown just because that's going to be more of a schemed up play where he probably benefits. I mean, they could do something where they do that ring around the rosy thing, you know, mm-hmm. that chaos play. They line up weird. They're trying to distract the Eagles to cover Kelce and Fortson's wide open. I mean, anytime Fortson scored a touchdown, it's been, you know, some creative play in the red zone. So I just think that early in the game, that's probably the more likely time you'd see him schemed up. Plus, you know, the Chiefs are going to be running a lot of heavy 2-3 tight end sets. I think they'll do that early on. So I think that you're just might as well take a shot on him. 55-1, 60-1. I like him at either price tag to score the first touchdown.
Yeah, I like that as well. And yeah, I'm hoping he finds the end zone. It's somehow, some way. And like I said, first touchdown makes a lot of sense with a guy like him, because the more you get behind, the more you probably go with more receivers and this and that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I looked at the, just for this year, the, you know, each player, how often they scored the first touchdown. For the Eagles, I found that Jalen Hurts led them 6 first touchdowns in 17 games. So, you know, that's, he scored the first touchdown about 35% of the time for them. So if you slice that in half, you're looking more like 17, 18%. And his first touchdown odds are plus 800. So that's only an 11% chance. So, you know, I don't know how much pass data is going to be predictive here, but there's nothing really else for us to look at. So yeah. I do think that's something, you know, to kind of keep in mind. Six times out of the 17 games, that's a lot for Jalen Hurts. So he would be my pick on the Eagles. And then Kelce for the Chiefs, I mean, it's been ridiculous. Eight out of their 19 games, he has gotten the first touchdown. So that's about 42% of the time. And there are markets where we can bet just the first team touchdown too, but you slice that in half, and that's about 21%. And his first touchdown odds are plus 650, which is about 13%. So you're getting a ton of value there if you think that, you know, those numbers can hold up. So kind of the chalk, but it's like a rare place where the chalk is probably undervalued, at least based on what we've seen in the past. And then McKinnon has five himself in the 19 games. So it's been kind of really concentrated with between Kelce and McKinnon on the Chiefs. Only other person with more than one is Hardman with 2 out of 9, and he doesn't look like he's going to play.
So, right.
If it's not Kelce, it's McKinnon. So maybe you build a little portfolio and you got both of those guys in there. Some pretty decent odds.
Yeah. I was going to say that the, you know, season long data might be a bit skewed because both teams are 14-3. They were more likely to score the first touchdown. Now it's pretty even.
Oh,
so
no, this is for the teams, though.
I'm doing
Kelce 8 out of 19 for the Chiefs, and then I divide.
Oh, right.
So like, yeah, so this is for the team itself. And so like Kelce 8 out of 19, McKinnon 5 out of 19,
wow.
Everybody else 6 combined.
And these are the markets I was going to mention that I prefer to bet on because it kind of takes the luck out of it. You know, I think it's a coin flip which team will score first. So I think if you feel really good about these, I actually prefer these markets where you're betting on the first player from that team to score a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah. You can like, they're, both of them are exist. Like I was just taking the first for the team and then dividing those odds by 2 to get the first for the game. And I'm saying, I'm still showing a ton of value even doing it that way. But obviously, yeah, when you look at it for team, it's the same thing. But yeah, Kelce, McKinnon, and Hurts have been like the overwhelming favorites, or should be the overwhelming favorites for that market. All right, anyone else touchdowns?
Yeah, so for the anytime touchdowns, I'm still showing value on Quez Watkins at plus 750. And granted, he's a player. We always pick on his you know, his floor. I have him, you know, with a 25 to 30% chance of not catching a single pass in this game. So obviously he has a very low floor, but he does carry upside and, you know, long touchdowns. So all 3 of his touchdowns this year have been on targets 20 plus yards downfield. So he's always a threat for a long touchdown. That he's probably going to have a better path to get there in a game where the Eagles are going to be more pass heavy. He'll probably have to be more aggressive throwing downfield. So based on his 3 touchdowns in 16 games, his fair price would be closer to plus 430 here. So I'm showing quite a bit of value on him at plus 750. Again, he's a player I'm only interested in investing in his ceiling. I'm not going to touch the over on his reception prop or his receiving yard prop, but sign me up for his anytime touchdown plus 750. The other player that does stick out a little bit, and again, it's kind of questionable because I wasn't going to attack his rushing props, but it's Patrick Mahomes at plus 500. You know, he was clearly limited by his ankle injury last week, but he was able to gut it out for, you know, the scramble on the game-winning play where he drew that foul. So, you know, I think with an extra week, he's going to be only healthier. I don't think he's going to run a ton in this game, but certainly high leverage situations, especially near the goal line, you know, the Eagles might not cover him and he could scramble, you know, for 5-yard touchdown. So I think he has sneaky value at plus 500 because He scored a touchdown 4 of 17 games this year. That would translate to a plus 325 price tag. So while I know that he's probably not going to be 100% here in the, you know, red zone offense, like I think he's probably going to be pretty straight up there. So I think he's offering some slight value at plus 500 right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting with Mahomes because I think the markets are going to kind of be all over the place. And it's like the books are having a hard time setting it. So yeah, I don't mind that at all, actually. You know, like that's the way I think you want to invest it on Mahomes if you think it's going to be healthier. Because, yeah, he doesn't necessarily set up for a huge rushing game. But if there ever a time for him to, you know, gut it out and put his body on the line, it would be either end the game like we saw that against the Bengals or in the red zone. All right, let's go on. Let's talk about props. Let's talk about some of the quarter half stuff. I haven't made any bets on quarter half yet, but I can tell you that the first half of the last 16 seasons, 11-5-1 to the under, averaging going under by 3.8 points per game. The under has gone under in 4 in a row, 6 of the last 7, and 8 of the last 11. Whereas the second half is pretty much even. So in the first quarter, especially, I know tends to kind of start off a little bit slower. These teams are the two of the top three teams in scoring in the second quarter. So I think if I was looking for a slow start, I would go first quarter more so than first half, just because these teams do kind of start to get going in the second quarter. The Phillies averaging 12 points a game, first in the league in the second quarter, and KC is third at just over 10 a game.
Did you have any bets? I remember last year, didn't you have a bet for the first quarter, first half?
Yeah, I believe I did. I had some under. I think it might have been first quarter, but yeah, this year I'm not as sure. I do think that if you are betting under based on the trends, I would go first quarter because that's where you've seen start a little slower. But just these teams have been so good in the second quarter. But I do think that if you're looking at kind of the full game total, you know, you can probably the first quarter tend to start slow in the Super Bowl. So if you like the over, you can probably wait and try to get a live over if it starts slow, and then it will probably start to pick up. And there's a chance it could be, you know, over the first half total anyway. And then you could try to find a live under somewhere in the second quarter or something like that, second or third quarter. Because then in the second half, Philadelphia, we've seen them kind of take their foot off the gas at times, but they just, for whatever the reason, they have not been quite as good in the second half, just 15th in third quarter scoring and 17th in fourth quarter scoring. Now, you know, is that taking their foot off the gas? Is it defense is adjusting? We don't know, but we have seen that kind of all year. So I think if you're looking for an under, somewhere in that second quarter is probably the way to go to like look for a live under, because again, these teams tend to really turn it up in the second quarter, both of them. So over the last 18 seasons, the first half dog is 10-6 with 2 pushes against the spread. And the second half dog is 10-7. So has been kind of a underdog thing if you're betting it by half. The Chiefs, you know, they are the first half dog. I think it's only by what like a half a point or a point.
Yeah. I think it's a half point right now.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, you could, even if you like the Eagles to win the game, you know, I think you could see the Chiefs starting fast. You still have Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the game, the one thing I think about betting kind of the Chiefs early, whether it's, you know, first half, first quarter, as an underdog, is that the Chiefs' biggest advantage in this game is probably going to be them running against the Eagles. And if the Eagles get up, that's going to be harder to do. You know, that's because of the game script. The Chiefs don't usually mess around with, you know, handing the ball off when they're down, even like a score. Like when they're in a neutral to negative game script, they're going balls to the wall with Mahomes. They know they have the best quarterback on the planet. But early in the game, you know, I think that Eagles 19th ranked DVOA defense against the run, I think you are going to see a lot of Isaiah Pacheco and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I do think there is more value than just meets the eye with the, you know, kind of dividing the game spread by two in terms of betting on the Chiefs early in the game in this one. Even though the Eagles have kind of slowed down the second half, I think that's a lot more to do with them kind of taking their foot off the gas. So maybe looking at totals in the second half, but just sides, I'd look at the Chiefs a little earlier in the game. Let's talk some player props. I know you have a bunch of them that you're betting. A lot of the ones I've bet already, the lines have moved like crazy, so I won't I won't bore the people with those, but they probably won't get the line anyway. So you, I know you have some new ones.
Yeah.
Let's go yours first. What do you got?
Yeah. So the first one I found, it's definitely a fun one. It's Jalen Hurts over 5.5 consecutive completions at -125. He's cleared this in 9 of 17 games. So this is close to a break-even bet at worst. But based on my sims, I have this closer to a 65% chance of hitting, actually. And because I'm able to create a sample size of 10,000 as opposed to 17. So I was able to really dig in. And week 12 against the Titans, he actually had 3 separate streaks of 7 consecutive completions. So if those happened in separate games, his distribution would have lined up perfectly with what my sim was producing. So I just think this is a symptom of a small sample size that he's only cleared this around 52.5% of the time. So I'm showing a lot of value here. This is mainly math driven. So I think there's some sneaky value on this prop. I bet this up to about -140 or so. But again, this is just a fun one where you don't really need to have a take on it. Like he can, you know, complete 2 passes on 1 drive, and then the next drive complete 3 more, and then the next drive complete the first pass of that drive. There's no real game theory behind it, but based on his pregame projections, which I'm in line with the market, he should clear this around 65% of the time. And the other Jalen Hurts prop I found that I love is his first rush attempt under 4.5 yards at +110. And his average. So what I did was I just looked at first quarter rush attempts. We're not going to see any kneel downs, things like that, that would benefit this market. But his average rush in the first quarter went for 6.5 yards, but his median was 3.5. You know, we always talk about the difference between average and median. So his average is skewed due to, you know, the number of times he rushes for like a 20 plus yard scramble. Certainly that's a possibility here, but on average, he's going to finish under this. Only 16 of his 36 first quarter runs went for 5 plus yards. So, you know, the best case scenario for this market would be, you know, they have a 3rd and 1 and his first rush attempt is a QB sneak. So there's certainly paths for us to hit this. And, you know, it's about a 56% chance he stays under 4.5 his first rush attempt. So I think that the fact that we're getting plus odds here is a nice bonus. So this is another one they added to my player props.
Yeah, that's sharp because, yeah, it seems like the books are just pricing it, you know, a normal rush attempt, which is around, you know, 4.5 average. But as you mentioned, yeah, there's a big difference between the average and the median because there's also a big difference between like a design run and a scramble, right? Like if his first run is a scramble, he's more than likely going over, but he has so many design to run attempts, like you said, that it could easily be a quarterback sneak or something like that, where it's you know, it's going to be more in that 1 to 3 range. So
yeah,
I like that. I'll give one and then you can get, I know you have what, 2 more?
Yeah, I have 2 more.
All right, so I'll give one that I didn't talk about, I don't think on the last pod, but Jerick McKinnon's longest rush under 8.5 yards. So I got this at 9.5. There's still value on this 8.5. And the more I look into it, probably even 7.5, looking at his season long numbers, he's had a longest run of 7 or fewer yards in 74% of his games this year. Only 10% of his carries have gone for at least 8 yards. Only 8% of his carries have gone for at least 9 yards this year. He just has not. He had that one big run against Houston, the walk-off. Since then, he's had a long of 7. He's had 24 carries, a long of 7. He's run for 1.8 yards per carry. All the meanwhile, Isaiah Pacheco has run for 5.2 yards a carry, scored a couple of times on much more volume. So, like, they tried to go with McKinnon in that first playoff game against Jacksonville. Gave him 11 carries. He got under 30 yards. It did not work out. So last week, we saw Pacheco kind of take that lead role. So I think McKinnon is going to kind of be in line with his season numbers or, you know, kind of what we saw last week where he got 4 carries. His median for the year is 4 carries. And for him to get more than 8.5, like a long run of 9, I'm projecting he would need upwards of, you know, 8-9 carries to get to that, just based on his averages. And again, he might not even get half that in this game. So, yeah, I think that's a good value. And even if 7.5, he still went under 74% of the time. I do think that's there's a little bit of noise. I think the number would be higher, but at 8.5, I think you could still feel pretty confident of him going under, you know, probably about 60% of the time. So yeah, like the McKinnon longest run under, because I think he kind of benefits from probably not getting that many carries as he was getting at certain points of the year.
Yeah, and it sounds like Clyde Edwards-Helaire will definitely play in the Super Bowl, right? So
yeah,
that, I mean, maybe he doesn't see any touches, but either way, his presence certainly lowers McKinnon's floor and ceiling, which this market kind of captures. So another reason why I like this under.
Yeah, I think everyone kind of looks at that Eagles run D and says, okay, they're at a weak spot. But they, first of all, they have been a little better since they, you know, they got Sue and Joseph. But for McKinnon, just, I don't know. It just, it hasn't happened for him in a run game. So it's like, yeah, got to go under it with him. But what do you got for, I know you got another couple of props. What do you got?
Yeah, so I have one more Eagles prop, and that's Dallas Goedert, longest reception over 18 and a half yards. I wasn't going to get through the Super Bowl without betting on Dallas Goedert. So I'm projecting him with about a 61% chance to clear this. And that's notable since I'm a bit under his other markets. I'm only projecting him around 4.3 receptions, and the market has him closer to 4.8 or so. So I just thought that was notable that I'm under projecting him in other markets.
Why do you think you're lower? Because I think I have him. Let me see. I think I noticed that. I think you had him a little lower than I had him as well. Yeah, I have him 4.6. So I'm not as high as the market, but yeah. Why are you still on the actual reception volume?
Beats me. let's see. Oh, you know why?
Love it.
You know why?
Why?
I always off the top of my head. I have no idea. I rely on my model, but I think it's because his catch rate this year has been insane.
Okay.
He's caught 83% of his targets. So I'm projecting him closer to 75, 76%. Obviously, he's a really good tight end, but that catch rate's probably unsustainable. So that's one reason. I know his ADOT's been pretty low the past few games, but I have it going up closer to his season average. So there's a few things at play here. But again, I'm not off by much, right? If we're talking about 0.3 receptions.
Yeah, I have it at 79. I was catch rate at 79. So I'm looking at I add about 95 of regression catches, like week average catches. So I guess whatever that's going on, his catch rate is so high that it's kind of overtaking
right.
That week average. But longest reception over 80.
Yeah. Yeah, so like even though I'm slightly lower than you and the market, I'm giving him a 61% chance to clear this. He's cleared this 57% of the time this year. So given this is a game script where the Eagles will probably throw a bit more, it'll be a closer game, maybe a trailing one. I think that my 61% projection makes more sense. So I you know, we're getting -105. On FanDuel. So I love the value we're getting. And I bet this up to about -130 or so. But again, this is one of those markets that it caught my eye. And when I dug in, I was showing a ton of value on this.
All right. And I know you got one more.
What else? And yeah, I got a Chiefs prop. This one's kind of fun. This is based purely on math. It's Isaiah Pacheco to finish with exactly 12 rush attempts at 9-1 odds. And I'm projecting Pacheco for 11.7 rush attempts. And I always stress, you know, last week I liked Miles Sanders under 14 and a half rush attempts. I always say every rush attempt in this market is critical. And when you look at Pacheco's distribution, you know, there's a 53% chance he finishes between 9 and 13 carries. And 11 and 12 are the more likely outcomes. So I'm just showing a ton of value on 12 exactly. I have his fair line closer to +770. So I just like the value we're getting at +900. This isn't like a full unit play or something, but it's definitely worth a smaller bet. And I think, you know, the fact that, like you said, that the Chiefs will probably start a little bit more run heavy, and then they'll just probably get more passive if the game goes on. Like I like the paths that we get Pacheco finishing exactly at 12 rush attempts. So again, love the value we're getting at +900 here.
Finish at 12 twice this season, including once in the playoffs.
Yep.
And my projection, you said you have him 11.7. I have him 11.9. So I'm actually
right on. You would probably show this closer to like, I want to say like +740.
Are we doing, is this the normal distribution? How are we?
No, this is a Poisson. Poisson distribution. Okay. But the fact that you're closer to 12 exactly means you'd show way more value on this than I do. But either way, like, so 11's the more likely outcome, but we're not getting as good odds on it. So I just showed a ton of value at plus 900 here.
Nice. All right. Well, there you go. Isaiah Pacheco, exactly 12 carries. I could see that. Like,
that's going to be a fun sweat.
12 for 56, right? Like, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's close it up and let's talk some exotics. I think the big one everyone always wants to talk about is the Gatorade. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on this, but the way I'm looking at it is there's been, in the last 22 years, there's been no Gatorade. 4 times. That's 18% of the time. So I actually think there's value on none at 11-1. Cause that, you know, that's it, implying like single digit odds there where it's closer to 20%. So I think I'm going with the none. I'm going to keep it consistent, you know, all year. Just no fun unders. Just we're going to go with the no Gatorade at 11-1. What do you think?
Yeah, no, the numbers add up. I am not tackling this Gatorade prop again. I'm just tailing you. I mean, the Chiefs, when they did win it, what color was it? Do we know? Like,
I can pull it up real quick. Let's
see. If there was any kind of like
orange. It was orange. So it's been
okay.
Last year was blue. The year before was blue with the Bucks, and then orange for the Chiefs, blue with the Patriots. But I was reading in the Athletic, they interviewed one of the Gatorade people, I believe, and they were saying that like they randomize it, and there's usually like three different ones. So really, the best thing to do is just take the longest odds, which are none.
Oh, okay.
Or, I think purple is the next at like plus 750. Like, just take the longest odds if you're betting this market, because they're not doing it by like, a lot of people are like, well, blue is in three of the last four, so there's value on blue. No, it's they're not doing it by team color. They're just literally randomizing it. So it's either none or just take the best color. That would be.
I'm going to join you on this none.
Yeah.
Sirianni runs such a tight ship. He's not going to deal with bullshit, you know, pouring Gatorade over. He's probably going to tell him, don't do that. And you know, Andy Reid, they might not even do the Gatorade. They might bring out a cheeseburger, right?
Right, like
there's other ways of celebrating.
Candy, right?
I think people are going to get more creative than just dumping a tub of Gatorade on the coach. So I think it's even more likely going forward that none's going to happen because they're going to have some alternate way of celebrating.
Yeah. So the last time none happened was 2017 with the Patriots, and it has happened more often than not with the Patriots. Go figure.
Because of Belichick.
But at the time before, it was 2013. It was the Ravens, so that's not the Patriots. So it's like it's happened. It's happened.
Yeah. Well, Belichick probably told them like, don't pour Gatorade on after the game.
So, you know, we'll see. But I just think what I'm trying to say is there's no real way to predict this market.
Yeah.
So I think you can kind of take advantage of the fact that the odds are different for the different colors and for none. And just bet on, you know, the one with the best odds, which is going to be none more often than not. And then for colors, it's usually purple. All right. That is going to wrap it up for our Super Bowl 57 Prop-a-Palooza. Thank you for hanging with us all season long. And, you know, we really appreciate it. As a reminder, if you're looking for our main betting preview show, that where we break down, you know, side, the total, all that stuff, Stucky and I have that one that's up. Right now, it came out on Monday. And of course, stay tuned this week later for our Best Bets episode with Brandon Anderson, Vegas Refund, and Jill Gallant. You can find Sean on Twitter at @_oddsmaker. You can find me at Chris Raybon. You can find us at those same handles on the free award-winning Action Network app. Hope it's been a great season for you guys, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Let's get this money.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.